Another week, another round of troubles for President Obama and his Affordable Health Care Act. This time, the focus was on his claim, repeated endlessly,
"If you like your plan, you can keep your plan."
We learned definitively this week that that was so wrong.
In Los Angeles, that isn't what Deborah Cavallaro is finding.
Here's Monday's NBC Nightly News.
A self-employed realtor, she buys her own insurance. Cavallaro's provider recently sent her this notice, reading, "Because of the requirements of the new laws, we can no longer offer your current policy."
The report went on to reveal a smoking gun.
That millions will lose or have to change their individual policies is not a surprise to the administration. NBC News senior investigative correspondent Lisa Myers found buried in the 2010 Obamacare regulations language predicting a reasonable range for the percentage of individual policies that would terminate is 40% to 67%.
To add insult to perjury, New York Magazine even produced a supercut of the dozens of times the president has made the claim over the past few years.
"If you like your current insurance, you will keep your current insurance. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it."
Glenn Kessler writes the Fact Checker blog for the Washington Post, and this week awarded the administration's claim that no one will take away your health plan four Pinocchios, the rating reserved for real whoppers.
I could kind of understand if he said it while the bill was being negotiated as a kind of an aspirational effort. But then he kept saying this, even as his government was providing statistics and information that was making clear that that pledge was really not sustainable.
Now, it's a lie, but it's kind of a lie with an asterisk. Because, yes, as it turns out, the government can compel you to change your insurance, but only if it doesn't meet certain minimum standards for coverage. So whatever you are compelled to replace it with is going to be better. So it's not quite as egregious a lie, right?
It was rather unequivocal. If you like your plan, you can keep it, period. I mean, it would be fine if he had said, there are a bunch of plans out there that really aren't good for you, and we're going to actually give you better plans that work more for you, and you're not going to be stuck in those bad plans. That wasn't what he said. So now we're at the moment where, as one of my colleagues put it, the soundbite bit back, because now they're actual victims that TV can focus on, people holding up notices saying their insurance had been canceled.
Is that how the press should operate, to have to wait? Now it's, 5 years into this process, to have poster children in order to get to the root of a story?
Let's face it, healthcare is a very complex subject. And a lot of this coverage is TV coverage. TV coverage in particular likes to have a victim. The estimate that I saw was that probably about 9 million people are going to end up having to pay higher premiums and coverage they didn't really want. Well, that's 9 million potential anecdotes that now the media can bring up.
Can you think of anything the administration could or should have done in selling this plan and in talking about it low these last 5 years to render their claim Pinocchio-less?
What the administration needed to do was be more honest about the fact that some of the plans out there they believed were substandard were a ripoff for the American taxpayer, and they were going to make sure those plans disappeared. One of the other reasons why I gave the claim for Pinocchio's is that one reason why a lot of plans are disappearing right now is because of the specific way the administration wrote the regs in order to force the disappearance of these plans. And there are some people out there that like the idea that they were buying a bare-bones policy, not paying a lot of money, but if they were hit by a truck, they would be covered in some way. That option is really disappearing in the Affordable Care Act.
Clearly, the administration believed that it accrued political advantage by saying, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." Can the political advantage of having done that to calm the public down over the last 5 years possibly compensate for the uproar that it has to deal with now that people realize they've been sold a bill of goods?
I mean, the reason why they were making those statements was, of course, they were fighting the last war, which was the effort under the Clinton administration to pass health care reform. During that battle, the opponents successfully made people believe that they're going to lose their plans. So this administration decided, we're going to deal with that by saying, you're not going to lose your plans. Now, they might have been in a better position if the healthcare website was working and some of these people who are getting cancellation notices could actually go on the website and discover, well, gee, this is not a bad deal after all. But they're not able to do that. So it's the double whammy of the false promise and the website that is causing a lot of angst. And that may be very difficult to recover from.
Glenn, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Glenn Kessler writes the Fact Checker blog for The Washington Post. He is the dispenser of Pinocchios.